Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 13 through 25. Did what is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin working death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandments might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. This is a word from the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For this I pray. Amen. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These words sound familiar? Yep, we've all heard these words. Some of us have had to memorize these words. These words make up part of our civil religion. They are part of the fabric of our society. Thomas Jefferson's words still speak to us 244 years later, reminding us of the struggle to be a free people, to have self-determination, to know liberty, and to be able to chart the course in our lives. In the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson named our Creator, our God, our Lord, as the source of our rights and our cherished freedom. And it reminds us that all people are created equal. So we cherish these ideals. They are in our bones. Everyone who is assembled here knows this, whether they're here in the sanctuary or they're worshiping at home. We cherish the ideals of freedom. Now, as I said earlier, growing up, I remember memorizing some of these, especially the preamble to the Constitution. My fifth grade year, they forced all of us to know that by heart. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. I won't read it all or recite it all for you today, but these are our founding documents, the ideals of our founding fathers, ink put on parchment, the ideas of justice, of welfare, of tranquility, liberty, and most importantly, freedom. Yesterday, As we were going through Thomas, you could see flags everywhere, both on homes and put there by the VFW. We had fireworks galore all over town. There was a celebration in the park, all honoring the founding of the United States of America through that document on July 4th, 1776, the day we declared our independence, our freedom. It is a patriotic day. It is one that stirs the soul. It fills us with pride and allows us to escape, if only for a moment, into those cherished ideals, even as we struggle as a country and a people. I think the Founding Fathers would actually be proud as they see people exercising their rights, airing their grievances, formally petitioning the government and demanding change, exercising their right and their freedom to be heard. Our founders created a system that is still working all these years later, a free people, but one still struggling with ideas of justice and identity. But you know what? Even here, we struggle with that same idea about identity. I look at who I am, and I can name so many different characteristics that describe me as a person. I am a Christian. I am a free man. I am an American. I am a husband, a father, a brother, a son, a prisoner, a sinner, and a slave. See, the Apostle Paul reminds us that our identities are very complex and that they are often at odds with what we believe about ourselves. Paul is reminding us about the power of sin in our lives and how it weaves its way into us. Paul writes this, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin." I hate to admit it, but Paul is right. This is part of our identity as well. Each one of us can say, I'm a Christian, I'm an American, I am free, and I too am a slave to sin. Or in other words, hi, I'm Jason, and I'm a sinner. In other words, the struggle that we have with sin is very, very real. It still permeates our lives, and it has an insidious hold upon us. And often, we don't even realize it. Paul continues with this, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." This is such a true statement. I mean, it is a fact. There is no denying that sin pushes us. It nudges us. It encourages us in our actions and our activities. They are so harmful and destructive, but yet we continue to do them. When we succumb to sin, we are not free. Instead, we do the very thing we hate. We sin against God, even though we love God. "For I do not do the good that I want," Paul writes, "but the evil I do not want is what I do." The struggle rages within us between our fleshly passions and our spiritual life. We are in constant battle We fight against ourselves. We declare our independence from our sin. But yet we continue to fight against it. Honestly, I want to drop down to my knees and ask God, why do I have to struggle with this? Why do I have to fight against sin? I mean, I am a Christian. I confessed my faith in you, in Christ. I believe with the very core of my being. So why does sin still hold on to me, pushing me ever farther away from you? We wrestle with this problem. We believe we are free. It's part of our identity, particularly out our American identity. We believe in freedom. We believe in choice. We are opposed to tyranny in all its forms. But the ultimate tyranny, sin, is still present. It still holds on to us even after we confess our faith, our belief in Christ and in God. Sin doesn't care about our confession or our beliefs. Sin is drawn to our flesh, delighting in pushing us ever farther away from God, blocking us from God, corrupting us further. Because our flesh is mortal. It will not last, and so sin is drawn to it. Sin feeds on our flesh. It breaks it down, breaks us down in a constant cycle of suffering and despair. The truth is, we need more. It takes more than a confession of belief, an ethereal statement given on a particular day. What we truly need to embrace is a complete transformation. I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior so many years ago. I was baptized into the Christian faith when I was 8 years old. I felt the call of God on my life to serve the church and the Lord when I was 17. And I spent nearly as long trying to fight it. See, that was sin at work, making me doubt my call, making me doubt the voice of God speaking to me, subtly pushing me away from my God and my Lord. I was ordained at 35, and I have served churches for nearly 11 years. And yet, I am still a sinner. I feel Paul's words so acutely. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. For Paul, his members refer to his body, to his flesh, his wayward, corrupt human self. A captive to slay and a slave to sin. Really, he's like all of us. I mean, I could easily write Paul's words where he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" These words could so easily fall from my lips. I mean, do you hear the despair? The anguish being transmitted in this letter. I struggle with sin. Its hold over me. It mocks my cherished ideals, my illusion of having liberty, of being a free man. In reality, I am trapped, a prisoner, a victim, a slave of my own flesh. I truly am the wretched man. I am not free. I have the illusion of freedom. But even though I am a wretched person, Paul reminds me, he reminds all of us, that we have hope through our faith in Christ and with God. You see, we have not been abandoned to our sin. Instead, we come to know God through Christ. The words of Paul then leap off the page. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God sent the Holy into the world to help us and guide us. Christ teaches us, and the Spirit sustains us. It helps us when we falter. This works to transform our focus, how we think and act within our lives. The Spirit of God gives us the tools needed to resist sin and temptation so that we live to God and not to sin. It means that we make a conscious choice. Do I serve sin or do I serve God? We can't do both, and the truth is, we cannot do it by ourselves. Remember, we are slaves, but in that, we get a choice. Whom do we serve? That is the question for all of us. I recognize that sin is in my life, that I struggle with it, and that it is a part of the human condition. It is there, it is present, whether we like it or not. But Jesus reminds us of the promise available. He calls the weary to Him, those weighed down with burden and sin. Yet, in our relationship with Jesus, we are not partners. We are not equals. And Christ reminds us of this. In Matthew, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Christ, we find respite from our sins. We find rest for our souls. But hear the language. We still take the yoke of Christ upon ourselves. We bind ourselves to Him. And so, we give ourselves over to the Lord, learning all we can in humble service. So we choose. We are free to choose. A life of sin or a life of serving the Lord? I choose to serve the Lord my God. And Paul reminds us that there really is no choice when he writes, "So then with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. With my mind and with my heart I serve the Lord my God. But I know sin is still very much a part of my reality. But I am thankful to know the God of mercy and love will bestow grace upon His humble servant. I just need to fall to my knees and ask the Lord, how can I serve?" Amen.